Hi and welcome to Healthy Life Hacks. I'm Jennifer Jeffries, the present day wise woman, a realistic naturopath coming to you from the surfing beaches of Australia. This podcast is for those of you who are wanting to really rock your life and health and live from a place of prevention. Let's get into today's episode. I am super excited to be here with Dr. Maz, who has her Bachelor of Health Science in Chinese medicine, and she's the one who's been helping with my treatments. And we're here to talk today about emotions and the liver. Maz, tell me what's, and I love it. The emotions are held in the liver. Tell me more.
Well, the liver is in charge of moving our chi, and we know that our energy, and we know that emotions are energy in motion. So when the liver doesn't get to express things and we pack things away in our body, then we say that things get suppressed, and also our function of how our body works is a little bit impeded, to the degree that in Chinese medicine we say that all disease originates with emotion.
We think emotion sits behind everything. I love that we think the same. So in this episode, we are going to dive deep on all things emotion and liver. Let's go. Let's start with the fact that you say, same as we do, you have to feel it to heal it. Tell me about the liver and emotions. Let's start there.
Yes. So in Chinese medicine, all of the organ systems have an associated emotion, but the liver probably more so than others, because it's charged with the function of moving everything in the body and moving our chi or our energy or all of our metabolic functions in all the systems. The liver also cops it the most when we're not moving through our emotions. So if we're stagnant in our expression, or if we're suppressing things, then the liver can get bound up and we can notice things happening in our body. It'll present differently for different people, but, you know, it could be things like constipation or certain types of headaches, migraines, period issues. You know, I could go on and on. It's different for every single person. But right. Yes, that's how we see it.
So with if we think poos, is it like nuggety poos, dry poos, bunny
poos? Sticky poos. It's very often sticky poos. Yes, so there's sticky poos. So to be clear, though, the liver can overfunction or underfunction. So when the liver's like super, like over fast, we can tend to have explosive things like diarrhea and so on. But when the liver's like locked down, and often that comes with a pattern of people not breathing below their diaphragm because there's too many emotions under there, so we just breathe up here. Yeah. So then the intestines aren't getting massaged, and I can actually feel a little bubble in people's pulse. And then I ask them, are your poos a bit sticky? Do they stick to the bowl, and do they feel unfinished? And they're like, oh, how did you know? How did you know? But that's like a bound up liver chi pulse that we feel. So then it might be slower poos. They might be more rabbity, but just the general trend is that it feels unfinished, or you go and then you might have to go again. And so then when we do some acupuncture, or bring in some breath practices, or bring in some emotion feeling, like somatic experiencing practices, then the poos start moving and so much space opens up and things really open up from there.
Okay, so tell us about the somatic breathing practices that help liver, emotions, poos, and all the other things that can come when the liver's out of balance.
Yes, great question, because there are so many. Like, we have, as you probably know, Qigong and Tai Chi. There's a whole separate almost field of medicine where we have different kind of breath and movement that we link. But one that I like that's quite simple for a lot of people to access is just to set a timer on their phone for 60 seconds, to just sit somewhere comfortably, put their hands on where they're feeling the emotion or the tension in their body, and just breathe into it with gentle curiosity, without any kind of forcing, without getting the mind involved, because the mind's going to try and make up stories, but just experiencing the physical sensation of, how does that feel? It's like, oh, maybe it's pinching a little bit under my left rib, or it feels like it's choking my throat is a common one, or our shoulders might hitch up to try and protect us from expressing what's, you know, on our chest or in our throat. And because a lot of the research or understanding shows that many of our emotional states pass within 60 to 90 seconds, just setting that little container of 60 seconds can provide a safe space for us to just dip our toes into that and know that you know, we're not going to be there for forever. And it's quite astounding how much things can lift in that time.
Yeah. So what's the most common emotion that you find in Chinese medicine relates to liver? I know what we think as naturopaths.
Yeah. Let me guess. Do you guys think it might be anger?
Frustration and anger.
Frustration, yes.
It is. It really is.
It really is. And same for us. So the liver is related to the wood element in Chinese medicine, which is trees, and trees like to express themselves by growing outwards. And when that's thwarted, when we don't get to move our emotions or move our bodies or move forward in life, we feel frustrated. And that's a really common liver emotion. That and all of its associated shades of anger, or even, you know, deep rage, which might be inherited for some people, or be related to collective grief even, which is often sitting on top of that. But I would say definitely there's that tone of anger, and that's what is written about in our classical texts as well. So that's from thousands of years ago, they identified that correlation.
So being a cranky bum, your liver's offline, your liver's out of balance.
Yes.
All right. So what kind, if liver is out of balance and it's showing up in emotions and physical things,
yes,
you'd be a cranky bum and all those things, what are the best kind of foods to help bring liver happy again?
Yes. So the liver, being green, loves green veggies. Leafy greens are really great for the liver from our perspective. And we know that they help the liver with its pathways from a biomedical perspective too, right?
Yeah.
We also love things like onion and garlic. So they're really moving. So it's those kind of pungent flavors that help to support the movement that wood or liver likes. Mm. So those flavors are really wonderful to support the liver too.
So onion and garlic.
Yes.
And I said to you before we got on the call that I like to make my own pickled onions.
Yes.
And you said that can be useful as well.
Yeah, that's a really, each organ system within so there's five elements and they're attached to all the different organs, and there's different flavors that relate to each element. So the wood element has the pungent flavor, which is spreading and opening. So that's things like onion or your cinnamon, you know, those kind of really spreading and opening flavors, or mustard, for example. That's a good one. Really get, or radish, pepper, that kind of stuff. It's really spreading. Yes, absolutely. But then on the other side of things, if the liver is already spreading too much and causing, say, like a liver imbalance type diarrhea, then maybe we might want to look at more sour flavors, because they astringe and they hold things back in place when things are spreading too much. So therefore, like pickled onions, you've got sour and pungent. It's a beautiful yin and yang balance.
Yay!
So I love that.
Pickled onions.
You can have them. Uh-huh. And it makes them, you know, because they're raw when you pickle them, but then the pickling process pre-digests it, which makes it easier on the spleen, which we can touch on actually the relationship between spleen and liver in a bit too. But I was just going to say, I love that, you know, these ancestral foods and traditional foods like pickling certain things, it makes perfect sense when we look at it from a medical perspective and a food therapy perspective.
Love it. Yeah. All right, so what is the link between with spleen, which is my thing that goes out of balance, classically my thing, and has influenced my pelvic floor so much. Yeah. What's the game between spleen and liver?
So another great question. So for this one, I think I'll actually post a little picture of this to my Insta so people can see what I'm talking about. But what
follow
people...
Dr. Maz on Insta, guys.
Yeah, balanced with Dr. Maz, hint, hint.
Balanced with Dr. Maz on Insta.
Yeah. But basically, if you imagine like a five-pointed star with a circle around it, that's the diagram that we use to show the relationships between the elements. So you've got the elements on the outer ring and they generate each other. So, for example, we've got fire, which when it burns, it creates ash or earth, and then earth, we dig deep, we find metal, and so on. So that's how they support each other. But within that circle, so the five-pointed star actually shows the relationship of how all of the organs keep each other in check and stop each other from going rogue, basically.
Yeah.
So the liver has the job of keeping the spleen under control, But the liver often gets a little bit feisty, and the spleen in our modern world is often a bit beaten down. So the liver becomes a bit of a bully, and which is what we feel, for example, when we get stressed, often our digestion will go out or we feel queasy. And that's the stress that the liver's feeling beating up on the spleen. So then we need to bolster the spleen with spleen nourishing herbs. So often when we're treating that imbalance, it's also looking at how do we treat the weaker one, or the one that needs a bit more love, and possibly pull the other one off it a little bit. So I know with people who've sometimes presented with spleen stuff, it can get exacerbated when they have frustrations in their life, because then the spleen's already weak and the liver jumps in and just it's just a pile onto spleen, and spleen's like, I'm not coping.
All right, so thinking that and thinking my spleen, mm-hmm. The last few years have been pretty frustrating for a lot of people.
Yes.
I have been the mad traveler. And so reeling me in to a point that I couldn't travel and everything, that choice was taken away from me for a few years, was very real for me. And I went through a grieving and all those kind of things. So we're seeing a lot of people now. I'm seeing a lot of people in clinic, you know, with things like, you know, spleen and liver and all those kind of things. And we'll talk into fatty liver in a moment as well.
Mm.
Frustration and anger that people have felt the last few years, it's showing up in their physical health now.
Yes. Yeah, it's
huge. Talk about that.
It's really huge, isn't it? And look, coming back to that image of liver as wood and as a tree, like we want to spread our branches and express ourselves, grow freely where we choose to grow. And mm-hmm. the last couple of years, people have been locked up in their houses, like locked up away from community and connection, which is so important for that emotional expression as well, right? So it's like we've been packed in a box and had our roots tied, our branches tied. So of course there's going to be, I think it's really normal to see a pile up of those emotions on the liver. And what you mentioned with fatty liver, it would make sense to me that if they haven't had an opportunity to be processed, and I think so many people were traumatized to some degree over the past couple of years and possibly haven't had full resources to feel safe enough to sit and deal with those emotions, well, often they'll get packed into the body somewhere. And, you know, given that the liver is very much tied with that emotion, it makes sense to me what you're seeing.
Mm. So yeah. And obviously, you know, we want people to go and see practitioners. However, any foods or things that people can do if they are, you know, being told they've got fatty liver nowadays, I'm seeing a lot of it. What kind of things on a day-to-day basis they can do? I'll obviously still go and see a practitioner like yourself for herbs and acupuncture treatment and anything that's involved. But what things they can start with?
Well, that's like you said, everyone's different, so there'll be individual tweaks. But I think as a starting point with certain flavours that we can look for in our foods, definitely bitter, because it supports bile production, which I imagine is exactly what you guys would suggest as well. Yeah. So bitter greens, like those flavors that our taste buds for many people are not accustomed to, but are actually so healing, because bile is our most potent antioxidant in the body. So I think definitely getting more bitter and just getting used to bitter and enjoying bitter.
So we'd go for things like kale and rocket.
Yes.
Many people can get their hands on things like gentian nowadays easily.
Well, but, yeah, exactly, yeah.
But those
and they're both leafy greens, aren't they, which comes back to green.
Chocolate and kale.
Yes, okay. Love those.
Yeah.
Yep, cooked onion. So this is a huge one for regulating cholesterol from a traditional perspective. And I always think of the French and their love of, you know, all things dairy and fatty deliciousness.
It's a luscious life over there, isn't it?
It's a luscious life. And they have French onion soup, which is basically cooked onion. So we often use that when there's elevated cholesterol markers. We would incorporate cooked onion to help to process that.
Okay, so people making their own French onion soup. Yes. If you're listening to this, French onion soup, if you've got fatty liver going on, that's a place to start. So don't go topping it with bloody sour cream and shit. French onion
soup. Let it do its job.
Make your own. Google recipe easy. It's an easy one.
So easy. Just load up on the onions. And I would say also, from a emotional expression perspective, I would say get those emotions processed. So my favorites for that are screaming into a pillow, Or in a car, I've done that one myself before. Feels really good, actually, when there's stuff that's sitting on your chest. If you have a punching bag, anything that the liver is, you know, located on the right side here, but it also ties in very much to the diaphragm. So when we're locked up through that middle, we're not, you know, having swivel motion expressing as freely. So therefore, like punching and swinging is opening up that liver. So you could even do that without a punching bag, but like in many Qigong or Tai Chi exercises, we're actually swinging and on the exhale, letting out that emotion. Yeah, just, so that would be another way. Also breathing into that diaphragm area, actually observing where are we not breathing. Like I think there's so many of us that have different breathing habits that we've developed through stress or lifestyle or postural habits of sitting at a computer or a car. So taking time out to just get curious and to breathe with the whole abdomen, like with breath work.
So pushing your belly out as you breathe, for those who are wondering what's diaphragm breathing?
Yes.
Belly expands.
Yes, and I like to imagine that we're in like a life buoy sort of sitting just above our belly button because we're breathing in 360 degrees. So we want our ribs to, yes, and our lovely friend Sal from Flow State, who does some beautiful breathwork classes, she has a cue in her class where you breathe, your ribs open so much that it feels like the light's just shining in there. So you want to just, you want to expand it all. But with the caveat, I would say it's kind of a fine balance of not forcing the breath. So actually just allowing the breath to flow in and out like a tide or like waves coming in and out to shore, and just getting curious about where the waves of air can open up space in your body rather than being forceful about it, because that's going to make liver more angry. Don't make the liver angry. No.
I had a guy in, I remember when I was, when I was in clinic, and he was in the city where I was, he was a very high profile guy.
Yeah.
Incredible frustration that was just showing up in his body. And he was a sick guy.
Mm.
But he could not be seen. He felt he couldn't be seen to be out of control. And yet life was totally driving him. And we came up with a plan that he'd come home from work of a day and he'd sit on the bottom of his pool and scream his guts out there.
Love that.
And, because water's so healing.
Yes.
And then he would just float it out and stuff. But he would, he'd do it underwater in the bottom of his pool. Yeah, well for him.
I imagine it would. Yeah, and look, we can scream into Mama Ocean. I've been there, done that. That's my
I've screamed in the ocean a couple of times.
It might have happened to you.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Might have.
Cool. So what are some other kind of practices you can do to get liver happy? You know, move that emotional kind of thing. I know you've got an interesting practice around 27.
This one came across my path from a feng shui teacher, and there's this idea in feng shui, if the energy of the room is feeling stuck, you move 27 things. And at the time in my life, I was feeling a little bit flat and cranky, and I thought, I'm just going to move 27 things and see what happens. And the difference to my liver chi was astounding, because I was just moving the things that were frustrating me, like the receipts that were sitting over there and the pens that needed tidying up and just 27 little shitty things that just got cleaned up, you know.
Major frustration.
It did. It was amazing. So then I've started suggesting that to patients, and they've reported back to me that it can feel really empowering. It's such a small thing. It doesn't have to be big. Sometimes it leads on to cleaning out, you know, a drawer or a kitchen cupboard or something, which can feel amazing and spring cleany and all of that. But sometimes just a simple act of moving those 27 things, it can give us a sense of control and accomplishment too. I think for many of us, and maybe this was true for your patient, the pool screamer, we have jobs that we don't immediately see completion, right? So it feels like we're chipping away at something, and we don't necessarily, you don't finish your job there and then and there on that day. So there can be that sense. Yeah.
It's a great way to have little dopamine hits as well.
Exactly. Little wins. Yeah, a little win. So, move 27 things.
Okay, the power of 27. I love
it. Yeah, I love it too.
That's so cool. All right, Dr. Maz, you have covered a heap to do with emotions and liver. I love it. What else would you, what else you got that you want to share? Anything else that's screaming at you? Tell me, tell me this.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I think journaling also possibly comes in here, or talking to a trusted friend, like anywhere that we can voice our emotions, or sometimes even voicing the situation to an imagined person in front of you, or if there's someone you're having a grievance with, you can imagine they're right there in front of you and you're voicing it. I think having that somatic felt experience of having it actually move through the body can help to discharge the emotions that are stuck in our body. I think journaling is great too, but I think mixing that up with the, you know, the somatic practices like the screaming and or moving is really important too. Yeah.
Very cool.
And I would say definitely movement, like the liver likes to be active. So whether it's walking or swimming or, I mean, I feel like I could say this for each organ system, but the liver particularly does not like to be kept in a box. It likes to be moving. And then there's obviously that fine balance, and I've had to toe this line myself. You know, we could talk about the kidney element, which for you guys, I think is probably more like the HPA or adrenal access, and people with adrenal burnout, adrenal fatigue. So I actually went through that myself, and that's related to kidney energy and draining or burning the candle at both ends. And I was a gym junkie at the time, and the only thing that made me feel good was smashing it at the gym twice a day, not once, twice
worst
a day.
Worst thing in my world, that's the worst thing you can do when you got tired adrenals.
Well, absolutely. So I didn't know I had tired adrenals, and it was the only thing that was propping me up. So I would go to the gym, feel amazing, feel awful about 3 hours later, then have to go back to the gym again. And it was like just draining from an empty pot, basically. Yeah. And eventually the pot ran dry and I had full-blown adrenal fatigue, couldn't do anything. But that's a whole other story. Yes. But I would say there's definitely a balance between moving but not over-moving to the point where we're draining ourselves. So we've got to look after our nervous system. And I think that's actually something that I commonly see in practice, is people that are overdoing the cardio exercise and they're already like burning out with a full-blown yang lifestyle. Yeah. And then trying to get them to incorporate more things like yin yoga, for example, which really slows you down. It gets the breath into all those hard to reach places when you're in those positions, and getting more of that balance in. So being mindful of, is the exercise that we're doing serving us, or is it actually depleting us further?
Yeah. I really encourage people, if their body is running tired and frustrated, anything like that, is not to go and run it out and not flog yourself in the gym like you did, but Tai Chi, Pilates, Qigong, yoga, all those gentle things, it still moves the energy really well. There's a great saying that Gandhi said, and it's kind of like, I feel so cranky. Oh, he doesn't cry. I think he used the word angry. I need to go for a walk. And then he comes back and I'm still angry, so I need to go for another walk. And he had a lot of frustration to deal with, but he changed it.
I know. It did. Yeah, he did good in the end, didn't he?
I'm still frustrated. I'll go again.
And walking is amazing because it is that rhythmic linking breath with it. So it doesn't have to be sprints, right? It can just be, I love it. Love walking.
Yeah, same. Dr. Maz, awesome information. So much stuff there for people to start with. So to track you down, best way is to find you on Instagram. You are?
Balanced with Dr. Maz.
Balanced with Dr. Maz on Facebook?
Yeah. Probably Balanced with Dr. Balanced Maz.
With Dr. Maz. Your podcast is called? Dr. Maz.
It's called Balanced Natural Health with Dr. Maz, and that's actually having a revamp. There's some new knowledge that I have to add to my last season that I put out there, so new understandings. And
cool. And you've also got a free ebook that people can get, all about spleen and pelvic floor.
I do, yes. So all about how spleen is the foundation for our health. So there's a link to that in my bio on my Insta page. And that provides a lot of information about the five element foundations that we were talking about here. So there's that little diagram that I talked about with the five-pointed star. And I will be starting to share more about that on Insta so people can have access to that knowledge themselves.
Yeah. Thanks, Dr. Maz.
Thanks, Jen. It's been awesome. So much fun. Yay.
Very cool. We'll catch you again.
See ya.
I want to thank you for being here today. If you enjoyed my podcast, please let me know by leaving a review on Apple Podcast. Every month, I draw one lucky person who leaves a review, have a free 1 hour consultation with me. Be sure to subscribe to the show wherever you're tuning in from so that you always catch the next episode. I welcome your emails and you can write to me at podcast@healthylifehacks.com.au. Until next time, remember, when it comes to life, live it, love it, and get on with it.